I've done a couple things this morning I don't normally do, but I have had my phone and text my wife from the hospital, so y'all bear with me in that. I'm sure you'll understand that. I'm a very relational person. Normally at church, after the service, we hang out, talk to everybody. But I'm going to ask you for some grace after the service. Me and my family will, when I get done and the invitation is completed, I'll ask Mike and the guys to greet y'all on the way out, and we're going to slip out, and I'm going to be on my way to get things straightened out and head to Gainesville to the hospital. So please understand that. I appreciate your grace there. Again, so wonderful to be with you and looking forward to this part of the service. If you join me with the scripture is 1 Kings chapter 17, if you have your Bible, and we'll have it here on the screen if you don't. But I'm going to be in verses 8 through 16. Normally, I ask you to stand this morning. I'm going to allow you to be seated and ask you just to enjoy and absorb this wonderful passage of Scripture. My missionary friend here mentioned how this was kind of a go-to passage from him. But what a wonderful story in the Bible of how good God really is and how He always provides for us. And how relevant for me this morning to hear my message titled that God takes care of our needs, okay? Listen to what the Bible says. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called her and to her and said, Fetch me, I pray, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in, dress it for me and my son, that I may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, listen to this, Fear not. I'm going to repeat that. Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make thee for thy son, for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail unto the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Now listen to this. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Let me pray for us. Father, bless your wonderful, amazing, powerful, perfect word today in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I stand before you in need this morning. You sit here, probably every one of us has a need. This prophet had a need. He's in a land that had a famine. They had a drought. There was nothing to eat. And he comes with a need. He finds a widow lady with a need. He finds a son with a need. Now, let me tell you a statement here. We, and you'll need it to amen right here, and it'll take me a lot longer to preach and amen, so y'all got to help me a little bit, all right? This statement is true, though. We're needy people. As long as we're here, I'm a positive person. This may sound negative, but as long as we're here, we're going to be needy people. And I want to tell you something. Only Jesus and His church can meet the needs that are in this world right now. Thursday, it excites me that you meet the needs of people in this community with food. It's hungry people. Now, Mike mentioned something that's going on, and we're seeing it as well. There's a decline in participation in people receiving it. I don't understand it. There's a lot of things right now I don't understand. Like, people tell me a lot of times, they'll come by the office and they'll say, I can't find a job. Hello, y'all with me? Everybody's hiring, okay? And So I don't understand that. I don't understand the fact that people don't want to work. Let me tell you something. God, now you remember what I'm about to tell you. God won't bless you unless you get up and do something. That's how he operates, all right? So make sure you're at it. Because, listen, even when we get to heaven, what I can see about heaven, there's some job assignments in heaven. We're gonna have things to do and responsibilities. Get used to it. God wants you to work. That wasn't in the notes, by the way. That's absolutely free, all right? And so the good news is God meets our needs. Now, there's a mother in this story. It's a sad story. Think about it. The famine had touched their world. I'm going to tell you something. Now, it's rained pretty good bit this year. We're in pretty good position as far as rainfall. But our land's in a famine spiritually. Son, we are in a drought. Okay, it's pitiful. And so it's touching our world. This lady meets this man of God and they need one another. Let me tell you what's still relevant right here. We still need each other. The church needs one another. People that don't know the Lord and don't have a church don't even realize the value of a church family. Now, and so God shows us some vital things to help each other. The first thing I want to show you is the communications of the widow. God made it clear to his prophet that he was going to put him in touch with a widow woman that knew him. And he would speak to her. And she'd be prepared for the provisions that he needed. Later, Jesus would talk about her. This is significant. In Luke 4:25, he says, "But I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months when great famine was throughout all the land." She gets mentioned by Jesus himself. Now, guess when that, you know, on our social media stuff, if you don't like something or you want to, they call it taking it down. They pull it down. Some of it still stays there anyway. This will never be taken down right here. It's going to stand throughout all of eternity, the Word of God. And it's recorded right here. So, Here's some things we knew about her. She knew the Lord. Boy, what a vital, important thing for all of us to know the Lord. If you've not been saved, you need to be saved. You need to be in contact with the God of the universe, okay? Now, she knew God had a plan for her life. Right now it was feed Elijah. There's things that are important out in the future. There's things that were important to us in the past. But there's some things that are just important right now, right here, in front of us, okay? And so she didn't know everything. She didn't know the how. She didn't know the why, but she knew the what. Feed Elijah. Now, she'd been placed in deep suffering. Death has been in her family. She's a widow. That's a very precarious scenario in that time frame. Still hard for a woman. A little easier in the world we live in now for ladies, but right here, it's a really tough financial challenge. It's a tough physical challenge. And she couldn't buy enough or scrounge up enough food and all the things she needed with her own abilities. So she is totally dependent upon who? God. Now, we see the meeting between the widow woman and the prophet. But I want you to notice, and I'm going to back up what I said earlier about work, and guess what she's doing? She's going to get some sticks, two sticks, the Bible said. She's going out to find something. She's not just sitting there at that moment. She's busy. Now, let me tell you who God uses. Most of the time, God uses the busiest people that are folks that ain't got time to really do something, he uses them to do something. You ever notice that? I hardly ever see God use lazy people. Are y'all with me? He uses busy people. So here's my commandment today. Get busy. Amen? And God communicated with her. Elijah communicated with her. And guess what? we're communicating with her today. She's still telling that story. Then the second thing is, by the way, I don't have the sandwich sermon with me today where you need a sandwich that extra long. He was wrong, all right? I'm going to try to value your time. And when I say that, it usually don't work out. I'm sorry I mentioned that. Second thing is the concern of the widow. You know, we've all got concerns. I came in here this morning with a deep concern for my mother-in-law. She's one of the sweetest women you've ever met. I've told Diane through the years, if she ever leaves me, I'm keeping my mommy-in-law because I love her. But we've got concerns. Listen to her dilemma. She knows the will of God, but she don't know how to make it come to fruition. She probably believed in her heart she couldn't do what was required. She knew that, hey, through the years, you ladies know what it takes to make certain things. I think about my grandmother, who's 98. We talked about her on the way here. One of the best cooks on the planet. But I guarantee you, she doesn't take and just measure out exactly. She takes a little dab of this and a little dab, but she knew what it took. And this widow lady knew that what was in that barrel weren't going to last very long. If things didn't change, they were going to starve to death. So she had a dilemma. Now, we've got a dilemma as well in the world that we live in. I mean, you think about it. We can't meet our own needs. You know that. I know that. God has to do that. So without His grace and without His mercy, we are on a sunk ship. Hello? We are. And so we need Him. And so, but she's like us all here. Now look what she's focused on. She's focused on how little she has and how inadequate it is. And if we'll be real, we all go there. I mean, and I'm your missionary. You remember, I've told y'all before, I'm from Blairsville. I'm a country boy. I'm a hillbilly. I don't apologize for that. I believe there'll be a special hillbilly section in heaven, all right? I don't know. I don't know that, but I'm just an ordinary person. But as your missionary, I get stretched. God's stretching me. I hope He is you in some way. I showed some people Thursday and Friday, we had a medical and dental clinic there for pastors and staff from Georgia Baptist churches all over North Georgia. They were everywhere there. And I was showing them some of the things we're doing and the responsibilities I have in the dental lab. I'm doing dental x-rays, okay? I'm a much better tractor mechanic than I am a dental x-ray technician, all right? But I'm having to learn that. The responsibilities of keeping up with the medications and all of those are vast stretches of my gift set and talents and abilities. And God says, you're going to do it anyhow. And so we have to trust Him. And it can be a fearful thing. She's got a pitiful plan, by the way. It's the Last Supper. Eat it and die. I don't like that plan. Do you? I plan on eating. Look at me. I eat, all right? I plan. At 55 years old, a lot of things about me don't work anymore. My taste buds are great, y'all, okay? Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But this lady's paralyzed, y'all. And I want to give you a warning. If you're not careful, you can get in that same paralyzation. You know what it is? Fear. And hey, I get it. My little grandson's back there. My daddy's holding him. And he's making a little racket. It's a joyful noise to me, y'all, okay? And I'm so glad he's in church with me. But can you imagine? He can't help himself. He can't feed himself. He can't change his own diaper. He's dependent. So this lady's son is dependent on her, and her plan is we're going to eat and we're going to die. I want to help you right here. No matter how desperate our lives get to looking, we can't live in fear, and God doesn't want us to. Fear, there's a song that says fear is a liar. Amen. Okay? And it is. And so if you fall into its lies, it'll consume your energies, It'll consume your abilities. It'll take and rob your joy. And steal, it'll steal the power of your faith. It brings about discouragement and doubts. I can tell you how to get to all you want of that, by the way. Watch the news and you can get all that you want. And you'll pay to watch it. I don't spend much time with that mess. And so fear spurs on. And we had a man this week, a leader, that was in our office Friday. He had an appointment. You know what he had? He's facing depression. It was, and I'm telling you, I believe this, it was making him physically sick. And he's depressed, okay? And so, but that depression and anxiety is a side effect of fears in our lives. And it can change our thinking from miracles, because God still does miracles, and heaven sent power, to only seeing shortly out in front of us. And many in our world have this woe is me mindset. And you could be here today grasping your fear. And I hope God can change your view and outlook. And by the way, I can't change that for you. And by the way, you can't change that on your own. I know some guys in the maybe the prosperity gospel, and they want you to think, only think positive, and you can fix yourself. Well, that's a lie. Okay, you can't fix yourself. If you could, Jesus wouldn't have to come and die on the cross for you, okay? So we've got to depend upon Him now. But the Lord can change us. Now, as you've already mentioned, Brother Hamby, God has a great love for us. Boy, I'm so glad you said that. It affirmed to me this morning, again, afresh and anew, how much God really loves me. I'm so thankful He does. And He sends me visual reminders of that He loves me. With my family, with my friends. I mean, I'm going to tell you, it felt good here this morning. I just got to tell you, brother, you come up and told me you love me. I mean that. That encourages me. You don't know me that well, but I believe you. You may have been kidding. I hope you wouldn't. But that's important that we tell people that. You know, we as men, sometimes we get this awkward feeling about telling somebody we love them. Boy, that's wrong. We need to tell people how much we love them. You know what? Some of us might wake up dead one morning and you can't tell me no more. But thank you for encouraging me here this day. You know what a wonderful example of that is? God did that with a cross. He made a visual, permanent spectacle of His love. History has it recorded. It can't go anywhere. God loves us because He sent His Son to save us. Man. The third thing is the commands followed by the widow. Looked like her faith. I like to camp and I like to have a campfire. You ever be around a campfire and watch it fizzle out at night? You got to let it go out and it just gets smaller. That's what her faith looked like. But her faith would overcome. She is shown as fearful, but evidence would prove later she's faithful. And God, I like this right here. God never even let her come close to seeing the bottom of the barrel. Now, I'm going to give you a word to take with you today that'll stick with you. If you're a child of God, you'll never see the bottom of the barrel. Okay? His supply is unending. His mercy never fails. His love never diminishes. If you're a child of God, you'll never see the bottom of the barrel. And so, she moves here. She can't help but move. She moves from being a partaker of misery to being placed in the very track of a miracle. I mean, can you imagine that little old boy would never stop telling the story, I'm sure, as long as he lived. Yeah, me and my mommy, my daddy died. Me and my mommy was about to starve to death. And the man of God came along, and the barrel never run out. And the meal never run out. We had everything we needed. By the way, let me ask you a question. I want you to raise your hand this morning if you agree with me. Do you have everything you need? Everything you need. I didn't say everything you want, okay? Because if I got everything I want, I'd be a spoiled, rotten brat. How about you? We would. But when we get what we need, we have to trust the Lord. Now, she got something that we all need, too. And I need this on a regular basis, a word from heaven. And then there's some things that happen here that go contrary to modern thinking. You know, we're in a me-first world. Y'all know that? Me, me, me. It's all about, it's a country song. We'll talk about me. Remember that old song? Boy, what a truth that thing is, though. Because that's where culture's at today. But the prophets takes her to a different realm. He said, make me a cake. Can you imagine what she's thinking? Make you a cake. We're about to go in the house here and starve to death and die, and I'm going to make you one first. It don't say she said that. I guarantee you she thought it. She's human, okay? Now, that's Stacy's translation, so y'all don't put much stock in that. But I want you to see something. There in verse 14, we find a guarantee from God of no failure. Sounds so sweet. Fear not. She walks this thing out. God just keeps the barrel flowing. God today just keeps His blessings flowing. I don't understand it. I don't know why He'd bless us like He does. Probably none of y'all do like I do. I let God down. I disappoint Him. I fail. My faith gets weak. If I was God, like one of my... You talked about growing up in the Pentecostal church. One of my heroes was a Pentecostal pastor, Brother Robert Doty. And he said, one of his statements that will always stick with me as long as I have any kind of cognitive ability, he said, if I was God, I'd squish us like a bug. Think about that just a minute. That's what I deserved. But He don't do that. Instead, He continues to bless. And what that says is our faith will triumph in our troubles. And God will meet you and I right where we are and show Himself totally capable to meet all of our needs. God's going to take care of all of our needs. Brother, if you would come with the invitation hymn this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand, if y'all would. If there's somebody here today and you've never been saved, you've got the greatest need that could ever happen in your life. You're lost. The Bible talks about you if you're not saved. You know what it says? That you're dead already. You're a dead person. You're doomed. I don't want to be all negative, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Okay? If you ain't been saved, you need to be. Son, have you ever been saved? Would you like to be today? Wonderful, wonderful. All you got to do is ask the Lord. Let's just kneel down right here, could we? What a wonderful moment. What's your name?
Curtis Ashford.